first man in MLS comes up huge.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Lions Blog Podcast. This is your host, Gavin. Really excited to be doing this episode. As we are in kind of an interlull and kind of an international break, U.S. men's national team obviously playing, against Morocco last night, two nights ago, something like that. So we are finally having an international break. We played over the last one, of course, so it's our turn to not play. So I figured this would be a good time to kind of reset and review what's been going on thus far this season. Here to do that with me is Taylor from Orlando City, UK. Taylor, how are you doing on this lovely Friday?
Hey, Gavin. Yeah, really good. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And, you know, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? There's no Orlando City game this weekend, but I'm missing it already, even despite the last results. So, yeah, looking forward to chat about where we're at so far.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get straight into it. I know you have to run soon. Wanted to get your favorite moment of the season this far. Just really quickly.
Honestly, like off straight away, it's the last game I watched, actually. I'm getting married next week, so the late nights have been beating me like never before. So I've missed the last two league games. But honestly, like having reflected on the season, it is the Miami shootout. I mean, when you win a shootout, it's a fantastic feeling. That game was a grind. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't pretty. But the shootout was something that I think all of our supporters are going to remember for a long time. And the fact it was Miami as well made it extra sweet. So I would definitely say the shootout. The way Mason got his hand on that that shot before Yedlin sent it into, you know, the Gulf of Mexico.
Space.
The space, yeah. Like for me, that's it. I know it's recent, but it's that for me.
No, yeah, I was in the wall for that. And I got to say, the atmosphere at that game just felt just a little bit improved. And I know that it wasn't a full stadium for by any stretch of the imagination. Only 11,500 people were there. But that's a good tally for a midweek game. A lot of people invested in the match. And you said it there for me. It was a grind. And not only was it a grind, they scored first, and it was like, where is a goal going to come from? And then Facundo Torres scores, and then they all score.
What a goal that was, by the way.
It was sensational goal, really, really.
Exactly when we, honestly, a quick word on that game as we're talking about it. We've both watched Orlando City for a long time now. We've both watched football for a long time. That was the classic game where I knew it was going to bite us. We missed so many chances in that game. When Miami scored, it was late on, obviously, for us in the UK. But I've got to admit, I thought that was a sucker punch. So the timing of that Torres goal and then what happened afterwards is why that's my moment of the season so far.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot that goes in it. The Facundo Torres goal is definitely a huge part of it. I love your answer. That's the word I was looking for. I love your answer there. It was a grind. Facundo Torres stepped up, and then we went into penalties, and I think the wall stepped up. Got real loud. I don't know if y'all heard it. I assume you did on the broadcast. Every time they took a penalty. It was just great, and we came away with the win. So I love that answer from you. For me, it's the Columbus goal from Cara.
Wonderful. How could I forgot, you see? Wow, what a goal.
Peak football, right? Like, you and I are both Arsenal fans. We are maybe used to those goals a little bit. We see like one of those a season, maybe. Looking back at, you know, I think Rosicky scored one, Wilshere scored the famous one, we scored one against Leicester.
That's the one, Gavin, that we wrote about. I'm not going to give it quite the credit that Jack Wilshere and Giroud against Norwich City, but honestly, to give Orlando City credit, it was getting towards that. And the other thing I'll note on that goal, I love your answer as well. What a fantastic goal. We won't see one as good as that for the rest of 2022, I'm sure. But I was in Montreal back in 2019, 25 unchallenged passes before Will Johnson scored. Even Matt Doyle said it. That was the prettiest goal in Orlando City MLS history for quite a while. But now I think the goal you've mentioned, Columbus Crew away this season, what a goal.
Sometimes it's as simple as this, Taylor. We watch the sport to be entertained, and that was entertaining.
100%.
And we came away with the win. We won 2-0. It's just everything about that. I was at a watch party that day. Yeah. Very, very intoxicated. just really my favorite moment of the season. But Inter Miami is a very close second.
Beyond that goal, though, so beyond Cara's goal, which was outstanding, I agree that we've seen this season we can't quite put a full 90 minutes together of that was the example of the perfect way to set up on the road and strike when the chances came. And I hear you. That was a really satisfying win, that one over Crew.
Yeah, it really was. Definitely our best performance of the season thus far. Let's get into your overall thoughts on the season as a whole. You can take this question wherever you want to go. Free reign. Go ahead.
Well, before you hit record there, Gavin, we were both kind of like, what is even this season been? And now we're in the little bit of a lull, the league break before we get going again. I'm as a supporter, I was ready for a break as well. I'm sure the team is after, going deep in the Open Cup as well. But to sum it up, looking back, so 14 games, right? I've got the East up now. 14 games, placed fifth, won six, tied three, lost five. And the gap between the red line right now is minimal, to be honest. You got into Miami who have started picking up form, believe it or not. They're on 18 in seventh place. We're on 21 in fifth. So it's a hard season to sum up. I've been thinking about this earlier. This season was always going to be transitional, right? We lost key pieces. We lost DK. We lost Nani. We lost Mueller to a lesser extent. We're going to Chris Mueller today. But a lot of key pieces that have been there a while were gone. Obviously, the Wolves had to flex their financial muscle. They did that. They brought Torres to the club when it looked like it might fall through. They brought Cara to the club. So talk about my expectations heading into the season. We're a playoff team now, so that's the goal. My aim for Orlando City in 2022 is home playoff game at the end of the season. That's what I think the ambition should be. But we're really struggling for consistency. I suppose the best way for me to answer your question here is to sum the season up so far out of 10. I'd give it, and this is difficult because winning three games in the Open Cup, and believe me, that's what I want out of this season. I want us to finish playoffs and I want us to get to the Open Cup final. I'm going to set the bar high. I want to win a trophy in the MLS era, but the Open Cup, which we didn't have last year, is definitely affecting the league form. So we've been up, down. I'll give it a 6.5 to 7 out of 10. I think anything higher than that might be a bit too drastic. Mm-hmm. We've just not been consistent enough. And the thing that worries me, and we'll get onto it, is, and it's because of the Open Cup and because of the injuries we've had, but I wrote about this earlier, previewing the games that we've got coming up after the break, and we lost two games at home in the regular season, all of last season. We've dropped four already, and that has to be a worry. That has to be a worry. It's something that irks me. It started with Cincinnati, obviously. It's ended with Dallas, the last game. It's really hard to put your finger on this season. It's been a strange one, certainly unlike the ones we've had before. I don't know what you've made of it so far.
Yeah, I like your point on the 6.5 range. I'm looking at the table right now, and above us currently are NYCFC, Philadelphia, New York, Red Bulls, and Montreal. And we sit fifth, 2 points ahead of Cincinnati. And honestly, I've watched a lot of MLS this season. I like the league as a whole. And I think that's about right for us right now. I don't think we're better than those four teams. And I don't think Cincinnati are better than us. They came in and beat us. But, we had the bulk of possession. They sat deep and countered. And we were at home. And we clearly can't play at home right now.
Alec Cam saved everything that night as well.
He had a great game.
Yeah.
And then below them, Miami, Columbus, Atlanta, New England, Charlotte, on and on. None of those teams are better than us either. Yeah. And so how do we break into being better than a New York Red Bulls and Montreal? I struggle with that right now looking at this team. I think we need more pieces in. I think we need improvement from the players that we have and the tactical setup. That's kind of how I view the season, to answer your question. Yeah. We have the pieces to do the good things. We just need to go and do the good things a little bit better. And that takes time. That takes chemistry. This is a new attack. Cara, Facundo, Araujo in the midfield is new. We've been having discussions on this podcast about all sorts of different things. But when you take a step back and look and say, okay, this is the context of the season as a whole, fifth sounds about right, and that's where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird one, because overall I am happy with the way the season's going so far. Relatively happy.
We're not Columbus, who were excited and ready to be in the playoff push, and they're sitting in eighth.
Exactly right. You said an interesting point there, and that's where I'm at with this team as well. It's we have the tools, we're still calibrating. And I almost cringe when I write it in my previews saying, you know, Orlando City is still calibrating to Cara's, you know, style of, but how can we really unlock his potential, that kind of thing. But when you step back and you assess it afterwards, it was always going to be that kind of season. You know, these guys have not played in MLS before, so we've kind of got to be patient as supporters, you know, and put our faith in them that they're going to, you know, the Oscar and the coaching staff are going to find a way. But yeah, it's certainly been up and down. We can't seem to put streaks together. There's definitely character in the team. When we lose, we can pick ourselves up. You know, it's not too long before we get another win, which is a big positive. We've not seen that from this team in the early years of MLS. But on the flip side, we need to be able to put streaks together. And it's difficult when you want to go deep in the Open Cup, which maybe brings my grade to a 7. I know we've been drawn at home for, well, potentially all the way to the final with the Nashville game as well. But winning those win or go home games as well brings it up a little for me. But I think we're in that 6.5-7 range for the season as a whole.
Yeah, let's get into some themes of the season, and somebody we've both brought up is Erchan Cara. One of the themes I just wrote down was he's been scoring some random goals for us in the Open Cup, in MLS league play against Dallas, had the flicked on header, which he had no right to score that. Columbus game, he scored that goal where he turned and hit it. Philadelphia, similar goal. He's scoring those goals, but he's missing kind of the ones that we would say, ooh, maybe you should score that. You think of the offside chance against Chicago. He had another offside chance, I think, against Red Bulls or something like that. Last game, to make it 2-2, he missed a back post header. That was got to be scoring that. What have you made of Cara and his goal-scoring form?
Frustrating, but then I think, should I be this frustrated with this guy? He's still figuring out the league, but on the other hand, he's being paid some of the big bucks. Those chances you just mentioned there, you got to be taking them. He does lead our goals and assists leaderboard right now. He's got 4 goals, 2 assists on the season. But he's the kind of guy, he's always leaving you wanting more. And I don't know how much at this stage that's on him or versus the team. Speaking to the random goals, with him, why I have hope in him going forward is that he can finish. But it's been so frustrating that he's missed the easier chances that you just referenced. Again, like our season, Cara is, you know, pretty much symbolic of our season so far. It's, you think you're going one way and then you go another, you know, up and down. And I wrote in my preview for the New England game, so the game after the break, he could be huge in the mid-season. Remember, you know, we're not even halfway through his first season in MLS yet. he certainly hasn't been at his best. I know Miguel and the commentary team kind of share the same sentiment as us in that he's still finding his way, but he has scored some sublime goals. The potential's there, so he could be huge. He could be huge for us. The game's come thick and fast, and I mean, it was a loss, wasn't it, last time out? But that header was, it just made me want to put more crosses in for him, to be honest with you.
As I was talking, Taylor, I was thinking, is he just someone who is very good at reactionary finishing? So in the moment, the ball's coming his way. He's like, oh, shoot, gotta hit it. Gotta hit it towards the net somehow, some way. Even on the highlights, it felt like that. Yeah. And when he has to think about it, you know, when he gets in behind, has 2-3 seconds to pick a corner, he just hits it hard straight at the goalkeeper. I wonder if he needs to improve in when you're thinking about it, you know, do better, but keep the same reactionary random goals like the Columbus one where you just turn and hit it towards the net.
Yeah. I mean, you're an Arsenal supporter. The name that comes to mind for me, Theo Walcott, was that, you know, when he did stuff instinctively and fast, got the results. When he had time to ponder on it, think about it, he overcomplicated it. And it's been a bit like that for Cara this season. He'll know that. He'll know that. You know, he's a centre forward who is prolific, albeit at a lesser level in the Austrian Bundesliga. But he'll know that. And I'm hoping that, I mean, he has scored. Remember, though, he has scored in his last two MLS games back to back. So if he can get a streak going, it can only be a good thing mentally.
Yeah, as long as he keeps scoring, I don't care how.
I don't care how they go in, exactly.
Yeah, it was just a very disappointing, the missed chance at the end. So that's partially the reason I wanted to bring up. Let's look at another theme that we've seen, and we've said it as well, home form. I'm going to take first stab at it. And for me, the way we set up at home is a little bit more protagonistic, a little bit more on the ball. We want to create chances, and our creative players, Mauricio Pereira and Facundo Torres, and to a lesser extent has been playing a lot recently, Pato, they're not doing the business. Whereas on the road, we can counter more, we can transition, we can press in chosen moments, like against Austin when we got them in their box and crept up on them and stole the ball. What are you making of home form? For me, it's our team doesn't suit the ball on the floor and play it around them style.
No. Well, my first thought is I want better home form. I said it earlier in this chat. We lost two home games at Exploria in the whole of last season, the regular season. We've dropped four already, not even at the halfway point. So it does deserve a forensic analysis. Why has it been happening?
And one in 2020 as well, and it was the last game against Nashville.
Yeah.
Which, so there was less games, but still.
Still, right? So Oscar set the bar high. You know, we have finally turned Exploria Stadium into a fortress. So why is that being undone in 2022? It's almost the fact that, and we've got it back to front right now, you know, to get into playoffs, win the majority of your home games, be hard to beat on the road, but you're going to get beat up so many times on the road. I actually don't doubt us when going anywhere in Major League Soccer in 2022 under Oscar Pereira. It's almost like we've nailed the Pappy special. We know what to do. We've got clarity when we go anywhere, whether it's the West Coast, whether it's Chicago, you name it. We know what we're doing on the road. When we flip into protagonist mode, which has been the buzzword of the last couple of seasons, it's almost like we're not quite certain in what we want to do. And then that translates in games with Pereira making questionable subs. And it's kind of a new problem that we've had. And I don't know the answer, really. We give up way too many goals at home. Think of the LAFC game. Red Bull's absolutely schooled us for the second season running. Those guys under Struber have like just tapped us the last couple of seasons. It's worrying. That's what I wrote in my preview earlier. It's something that has to be fixed fast. If you look at the context of the last loss, though, it's a 3-1 to Dallas. Obviously, we just put a lot into Miami. And this is the thing with this season with my gradings. It's if you're going to go deep in the Open Cup with the roster we have, something's going to be taken away from the league. And I think that's what we're seeing to an extent. But yeah, we seem to be better on the road. It's really difficult for me to put my finger on why.
The biggest frustration, I think, with the Dallas game in particular was the sequence. Yeah. If Dallas came out killing us 3-0 and we scored a consolation, like, yeah, understandable. Yeah. We're 1-0 up with 20 minutes left, 25 minutes left. And then you lose 3-1. It's how did this happen? What could we have changed? And I brought up the point that maybe just the game plan for Estevez over in Dallas, who's their head coach, was just, okay, we saw them go 120 minutes. They're already depleted with injuries. Yeah. We're going to try. We're going to really turn it up 70th minute. And it took one counter from a Perea giveaway. It took a Kyle Smith deciding to just take a break on defense and maybe Pedro Galese
he should have done better
on the third one. And really the second one, he was a little out of position. You can kind of see why the first touch was bad, and if the first touch was better, Galese was in a better position to stop it, but it wasn't. So things happen. I'm not going to kill him for it, but part of me thinks it may have been in Dallas's game plan. And if so, it worked brilliantly for them.
I think so. And it's kind of where my head's at now. I'm not still raging over that Dallas game. It's kind of, I let them have that one because they beat Miami. But it is a worry, though. It is a worry. Teams are scoring way too many goals at Explorer Stadium this season. And, you know, I don't know when Antonio Carlos is back. Obviously, that was a blow. He's in the top, top 10 centre-backs in all Major League Soccer. Schlegel's done okay, but he's not AC, is he? He's not AC. So that hasn't helped either. But, inconsistency across the board, especially at home.
Yeah. Another theme is injuries to key players. We don't have to go too deep into that because there's not much to do but speculate on training methods, and I don't feel like doing that. So instead, we have a little bit of a depleted squad, right? So AC is out. We've lost Benji, Tesho for a little bit. Van der Water's out for potentially the season. Gaston Gonzalez was very unfortunately injured in his last game for Union de Santa Fe. So we're seeing some red cards. We're seeing some suspensions for 5 yellows. And to me, some of that comes down to a little bit of unluckiness from the first red card in Austin, which I don't want to get into. But another theme of the podcast has been game management. And how do we manage games and game states? And how do we manage games when we're a little frustrated? What is your take on the theme there of not able to manage games appropriately? At least in my opinion, I don't know if some people think we're managing games fine, but that's just how I feel right now.
Well, the thing that I'll say has been a constant theme under Perea's tenure is we seem to play angry way too often. When we get angry, we lose games of football in Major League Soccer. It's the Araujo one, the second red at Austin. Call it harsh. I call it stupid to allow Dickerson to make that decision. And I've not got all of them off the top of my head now, but, being an Orlando City supporter like you, watches them season in, season out. When the red mist descends on our players, it all goes to hell. So in terms of your question, game management, we need to get better at that. It's difficult, but it's because that's also our strength. And we've turned around a losing culture by kind of getting angry and, playing the protagonist and all of these kind of things, but a strength can also be a weakness. And I in those difficult moments when pro are doing pro and you're on the road, you know, and you're getting a few bad calls, I want to see a bit more poise and calm in this group. I don't think I'm being too harsh in that assessment. I feel that when we play angry, it doesn't end well for us. And Araujo is the best example. He's come in. Nobody knew who he was. For me, he's added a lot to this team. But he is tenacious. He's a warrior. He is a walking yellow. If you thought Sabas was a walking yellow card, this guy is a walking red. And it's those kind of guys. He's young. I want the older heads. You know, Robin Jansen flicks on Viking mode as well. But we need to, because there's going to be countless more moments in this season alone where we're under the cosh and, you know, we're in a bad moment and we need to find our way out. Too often with this team under Perea, I've seen the red mist descend and, you know, it's Orlando versus everybody that we make a big deal of on social media. But when the dust settles after a loss and when we've lost our heads, we could have, you know, stayed calm and got a tie or got this. I think that's what I want to see development-wise from this group, certainly in the rest of this season, because it's cost us before.
Yeah, in those scenarios, my maybe take on it, my want to see from the team is get the leadership guys. So who are we thinking here? Maurizio Pereira, Pedro Galese, we're thinking Jansen, even though he's the one who can be a culprit a lot, to Urso, who's always on the pitch as well. Have them just look around, and I said just – tap your temples. Y'all can't see the video, so I did it for a second. But just, guys, think. And I want that to kind of be a come to Jesus moment. Just kind of a pause and just, okay, this happened, and we're good. Tap your temples and we're good. And I'm looking at the leadership, guys, to do something like that. We haven't seen anything like that. It is a problem. And it something like that, I think, could really help. Just it needs to be discussed internally. And then externally, that's the cue. When something's not going your way, when you're frustrated, look at your teammates and figure out a way to calm everybody down. We win the Austin match if Araujo doesn't kick out.
And that's it. Alexander Ring makes the most of it. You know, he knows what he's doing. But like I said, my blame is with our player. And he steams in. And where was the experienced player saying, look, we've got Austin where we want him right now. You know, let's not give Dickerson any more decisions. Where was that coming from Perea? So I've got clarity on it. That's what I want from the team going forward. I don't want, you know, pro are pro. We know that. But let's be a bit more savvy with it. Going forward.
Yeah. The other so for me, when I say game management, I think of like two different buckets under the same thing. So I think of I love the way you termed it, the red mist. just I can see Janssen's face just getting redder and redder. And Maurizio Pereira's mouth getting wider and wider when he yells. But the other aspect is managing a game itself, not even when it comes to reffing, but just I laid out on a recent, I think it was the Dallas podcast, actually, you know, Philadelphia last season, we're up 2-0 going into 20 minutes left. Kasper Schabelko scores a kind of random goal. I think it was either outside the box or just a cross. And now it's 2-1 and we're hanging on. Philadelphia this season, we're up 2-0, hanging on 2-1. Charlotte, we're up 2-0, hanging on 2-1. Portland, 1-0, red card. They get a needless penalty from Andres Perea. And there's countless more examples that I could go through where we are making games harder for ourselves. What is your take on that aspect of game management, managing the game itself and the game state?
Yeah, well, we need to get better at it because you've just reeled off too many examples there. It does keep happening. The Charlotte one was one I stayed up and watched, remember it very well. I mean, that was such a dead game that we made interesting. And we have to get better at it. It's lapses in concentration. I mean, it's simple, it's form, it's thinking the job's done when it's not. So I want to see us get better at that going forward. Obviously, we know Oscar's a defensive coach. Once he gets in the lead, we kind of retreat. I think that plays a big part in it. I mean, even at Toronto, when we nicked the win from Kyle Smith, the subs were defensive. That was an away game compared to Charlotte. But we know Oscar is a what we have, we hold kind of mentality coach. So, again, like we said with the red cards and want to see, our mentality getting better going forward, we certainly need to get better at game management in that regard. When we get into a good position in a game, we need to... We don't get enough clean sheets thinking about this. Pedro Galese, we laud him as one of the top stoppers in this league. I can count probably on, one and a bit hands how many clean sheets he's had since he's been at the club. Not many at all. So this team gives up too many goals to break into that four elite teams that you mentioned earlier on this call. And we certainly need to get better at it. It's the reason we're inconsistent.
Yeah, I will say Pedro, I think, is up there in clean sheets with the league, but it's not a high number. I think everybody's given up goals, but in previous seasons, he's had like five or four. It's like,
you expect better from him, essentially. Yeah. And it's not just on him, but the group.
Yeah, so that's, I think that's a good discussion on themes that we've seen this season. Let's kind of do a quick status report on the players that that have joined, or I know we talked about it before the pod, but I'm actually going to add Pato to the list since we barely saw him in 2021.
For sure.
We've already talked about Cara, so we can bypass that. Let's go straight to the big one, Facundo Torres. Where are you at with him? Maybe we can put a number out of 10 just to keep that going. Where are you at with Facundo Torres and his start to life in Orlando?
Facu Torres, well, he's the guy on my Sunshine Kit jersey this season. I was super excited when we signed him and glad we got that over the line. I have been impressed overall with him. I think he's added to the team. I'm actually going to pick up from your point. I'm pretty sure it was you, Gavin Lionsblog, that said, because I agree 1,000,000% with this, to see the best of Facu Torres in an Orlando City jersey, he is best when the ball is moving fast, when he's not thinking about it. He's very instinctive. You said that after the Miami game, I believe, and that is it for me. That you've hit the nail on the head. We see the best of Torres when the ball's moving quick. Think of that goal, the Cara one at Columbus Crew. He was influential in that. And his solo, mazy run and then finish against Callender for Miami, who was outstanding. I've got to give him props for that. He was outstanding.
He's been great this season for them.
He really has. And I didn't think he was going to get beat. And then Torres did his thing. So Torres is capable of the outstanding. We've seen flashes of why we were all so excited, why we were all tracking planes and, checking every rumor and everything in the offseason. So I would say overall, out of 10, I'll give him a 7.5. I think he's been solid. It's his first season. He's a big name, Uruguay International, but he's young. We forget how young he is still. So I think he's been good overall. And he has that X factor. We just need to see it more often, but I'm sure we will.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go 6.5. I think I had high expectations, and that's a personal thing versus maybe a Facundo Torres thing. I assume the club maybe expected around this level of performance from him, and he's probably hitting that right now. He's also not being used in a go and score or assist every single one of our goals type of thing. So I'm not really looking at it in terms of goals and assists, and I don't think it's fair to do that. Yes, I would love to see him score more, assist more, but right now that's not his role. In terms of the role he is playing, I think there are times where he gets into a good position to make the right decision, the right pass, the right dribble, make the right run, and sometimes it just is lacking for me. First, all the caveats that everyone goes through every time they talk about him. We don't need to relitigate. But Facundo Torres, overall 6.5, above average, very happy with him. He's going to be a great player for us. He's going to be a great player overall. And yes, it was after the Miami game. First half, I was looking at it, and I was pretty disappointed in the team's performance as a whole. I know we dominated the possession, we dominated the chances, but Miami let us do that, really. Yeah. And Nashville are going to do the same thing, by the way, so I'm really nervous about that. But I think he was the bright spot for me, and every time he tried to do something, everyone else around him was just that little bit slower, and it clicked, and it's like, this is happening all across the games for him, and we need to be a little bit quicker. So Facundo, 6.5 for me. Anything else to say before we move on?
Move on, Gavin. I was just going to say on Torres quickly, one other thing that we need to note with him is he's played a lot of soccer. You know, since his move from Peñarol, he pretty much played nonstop. So, you know, he's young, he's enthusiastic, but we've got to make sure he don't burn out either.
Mm-hmm. I think he sat for the Tampa game.
Well, Rainey came in to start against Dallas, so but he did come on the bench after the Miami game.
But I really think that's it, right? He started Miami. He didn't start Philly. He didn't start Tampa, but every other game he started. That's a lot of soccer. And remember, he played the preseason match for Peñarol.
Yes.
I almost forgot about that. Let's move on here. Araujo is next on my list. Since we've already talked about Cara. Araujo, he started off strong. He's kind of middled out maybe by now. Red card against Austin. Yeah. What's been your take on his start to life?
Yeah, Araujo, interesting one. I hadn't heard of him before the club signed him. Obviously very young, lots of upside. But with him, the kind of half-season headmaster's report, I'm going to call it, started very, very strong, made a name for himself. Like, oh, Orlando, I've got this, you know, this brute of a defensive midfielder, loves to scrap, you know, just definitely not scared of anyone in a new league. Since the beginning, I think other sides have figured him out now, you know, have figured out that he, you know, loses his temper easily, you know, can put in rash challenges. A lot of other clubs have zeroed in on him, and we've not seen his best games more recently. That said, overall, he's definitely a very talented player. Can see why we brought him to the club, and a mark really of Ricardo and all the guys in the front office. The caliber of our signings, most of them have been hits rather than misses over the last couple of seasons. So happy with him overall. To give him a grade, I gave Facu a 7.5. I'll give him a 6.5. Very solid. You know, he in a very competitive area of Oscar Pereira's team with Urso, Andres Pereira, Sebas Mendes, Araujo's nailed down a central midfield place, probably more than we anticipated he would do. So I'll give him credit for that. He's dislodged a full Ecuador international there. So, you know, has played in the Far East, played in the top level in Brazil. So that's all credit to him. So again, like the other new boys, I think, you know, the more he plays in this league, the more he understands it, he's only going to get better.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go out and give him an 8, actually. I mean, I think he's younger than Facu by a couple months, I think. He's come in, like you said, nailed down that position. Think of how important Mendes was to us last season. If he was out, we were struggling. And if he was in, we were looking a little bit better. And I don't think Mendes has been amazing this season personally when he has come in, but Araujo has been very good. He's not been faultless by any stretch of the imagination, but for a kid his age to come in and nail down that spot, be loved by the coaching staff already. He's undroppable as well. He's played almost every single game as well. So I'm going to give him an 8. The other thing I wanted to say is just quickly, I think he is so loved because of the off ball stuff he does. On the ball, he's kind of average, in all honesty. He does make some good forward passes, a little bit longer range than Mendes might. But really, it's for me his off ball positioning, his off ball awareness, and movement in and around with his teammates that I think gets him in over Mendes. And just comparing Mendes to last season, he was so important for us, and he Araujo's instantly come in and taken his spot. It's very impressive. So for me, I'm going to give him an 8. Anything else to say on that?
No, I think you've summed it up well. And yeah, look forward to seeing him grow. And what I think the most important thing to say with Araujo is we was like, we cannot sell Sebas Mendes at all costs. Now we potentially can. And I think that's credit to Araujo.
Yeah, looking at the World Cup, Ecuador in it, right?
Exactly, right.
So hopefully he puts on a good display there. Get some cha-ching, cha-ching. Kara, I know we skipped over him, but you want to give a quick number for him?
A grade for Kara. I mean, he's our goals and assists leader, so you have to give him props for that. My grades, yeah, seven.
Seven. That's where I was leaning. Seven.
Yeah, it's tricky with him.
Good. Could be better.
Exactly.
I'm writing all these down, so you're in trouble if you give a bad one, by the way.
I'm on record.
Yep. Bato.
Yeah.
I don't know with him. I'll go first since you've gone first for the other ones. Bato. I don't know,
he frustrates me sometimes.
He frustrates me too. I know he's been like an instant fan favorite this season. He scored the first goal. First impressions always mean, you know, a lot. So he scored in that first game, had that great goal against LAFC, has been very creative when he's been in. There's just some things about his game that don't work in our system, and I think that's why he's not starting. Urso is starting on the right instead of Bato, and I think that tells you everything. Urso is not a better player than Bato per se, but Bato doesn't fit to what Pareja wants. So, and Bato needs to be used in a specific system. He has frustrated me. Sometimes he loses the ball too easily when he could have kept it.
That's it. Yeah,
that's the one. So I really struggle to like lock him down this season, because some games he's been great. He has been creating chances. He's been everywhere. It hasn't really amounted to much. I think he's got, 3 goals in all competitions, maybe an assist or two. I don't have it up in front of me.
Yeah.
I would go with a 6 because I think I was expecting a bit more.
Yeah. My grade is 6 on him as well. You know, he's long past the injury now. And unfortunately, we've all seen him play a bigger part this season. But he just leaves a bit to be desired for me. Gives the ball away way too easy. There's way too many clips that we cut on the play-by-play where we're building an attack. And it's a sloppy, you know, slow-paced pass, which you hold him to a higher standard than some of our other players. You know, when he's breaking forward, you know, your breath's going quicker, you know, you're anticipating, and then it's a really below par ball. And I think you've said it. The fact Junior Urso is flourishing on the right hand side, you know, and getting that gig over him tells you where Pato's at. But the frustration with him is that we know he's a quality player. He's played different position. It's always hard when you're a player who comes into the team and doesn't nail down a position. Mauricio knows what he's doing in the 10, you know, day and night. Pato, is he on the left? Is he on the right? Is he a false 9? Is he the number 9? He's been used in different areas. And yeah, he's just another cog for me at the moment. I think 6 is fair.
All right. We don't have to put a grade on him because we've barely seen him, but it would be remiss of us to not talk about Jake Mulroney, as he is also a new signing. Just quick thoughts on the left winger.
Yeah, well, he started the last game and it was good for him to get that first start. I must be honest, and I've not been up late to watch the games that he's played a big part in so far. So for me personally, it's waiting to see what happens. But the one thing I will say on him, we definitely needed that depth. Can play left wing, right wing, can play left wing back, right wing back. So he's super versatile. He come from Atlanta. It's about time they gave us someone. We've given him Dwyer, Dejean, Ambrose, Roches, even Harrison Heath. Can you remember? It was about time they sent someone our way. But yeah, I'm hoping his time can be a big success here.
Well, who was their coach? Who was their interim? He was from us too, wasn't he?
Well, Valentino as well. I mean,
they've had a ton.
For John, I think even Jonathan Spector was on their board.
Yep. He's still over there, I think. Yeah. They love us. They're obsessed. No, look, from what I've seen from Mulroney, and I've already said this, offensively, I think he gives us a bit more than Benji, because he has that speed, but he also has that technique. Yeah. Now, the trade-off is he's not as good in front of goal, I think, but...
Never Benji been a prolific scorer. Never scored many goals.
Yeah, but also Benji's not been getting those chances when he was in the season before his injury. And hopefully he's back soon to be an option. Defensively, I think Benji's better, which is a credit to Benji. He's less of just a body back there and more of a nuisance. He can put in a tackle. He can, you know, be in the right position to get an interception. And Mulroney, from what I saw when I scouted him in Atlanta, I watched a couple games, not full games, but like some clips of him. He will just kind of stand back there and be a body. One of the big ones this season is Kamal Miller. Completely roasted him and another one of Atlanta's players before scoring or before assisting a winning goal against Atlanta.
I watched those highlights and the smile was on my face. That was an unbelievable goal.
It was unbelievable. It was Kamal Miller roasting somebody in a right wing position, two players, one of them being Jake Mulroney, yeah, and then crossing it in on his right foot to Joaquin Torres, who is the smallest player on the pitch for Montreal, heading it in. It was really sensational. One of those reasons why you just love MLS. And yeah, Mulroney was a part of that. Next game, Mulroney comes in for us. Can't remember exactly where it was, but the next game he was found one. It was Montreal. It was Montreal on one of the goals. He was found wanting on one of, I think it might have been the third goal out of the four. And it was like, you know, defensively, you want to be in a better position there. So that's my quick status report on him. No grades because we've barely seen him.
All right.
Let's get out of here with some quick picks. Best player of the season. I think this is a difficult one. Who's been the best player of the season for you?
You said quick picks. I'm not going to be so quick. Oh, it's really difficult, this. But do you know who I'm going to go for? And it is straight off the top of my head because I know you've got other ones. João Moutinho, I've been impressed with. I think he's been pretty consistent over the 14 games so far. I mean, he's fit, which is the bonus. You know, it's a big bonus with him because he's injury prone, but I think he's been very consistent. The fact I'm not picking Faku or Kara or scratch that, I've changed my mind, but it's close. Mauricio or João Moutinho for me. Mauricio, I've never been completely sold on Orlando, but I feel he has been crucial this season. It's between them two, but nobody's an outright winner for me. It's difficult.
Yeah, I think that speaks. That's like the perfect sum up of our season.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. For me, I was actually going to go with Joao. He's really impressed me. I think this less running role that he's in, where he just kind of fills into the midfield. And then he comes back on defense. He's not tasked with going up and down. It's been better for his back. It's been better for probably his hamstrings, his ankles, whatever the issue is on the day. He's able to stay fit because he's doing less. And that's exactly what we need. Defensively, he's been a lot better for me. And it's interesting that when you ask a player to kind of stay in his position, he all of a sudden doesn't turn into a defensive liability like I would say he once was. Yeah. So for me, João Moutinho, in the role he's got, he's been very good. Hasn't been sensational, but I think for me, he's been our best player. So this one's more of a free, open question. You can go anywhere you want with it. But who has surprised you the most on this team?
Surprised me most. What I will say, Huan is the one who surprised me most.
Oh, hold on, Taylor, you're lagging.
Oh, is this any better?
No, I can hear you now. You're good.
Great. He had the game. Huan is my answer. He had the game where I was super pleased for him. He was on the back of my jersey last season. Like, I really liked the guy as a player. But he's certainly regressed or been figured out in Major League Soccer. He had the game where he scored and he answered the critics back. But we're talking, you know, we're meeting today, we're chatting about the season as a whole. He's not hit the levels that we know he's capable of. The main reason why he's my answer, why he surprised me, is that he's not mastered crossing yet. And for how long have we been saying that? I mean, and I'm looking at him now as a guy, you know, we talk leadership group, probably not him compared to Mauricio's, Erso's, Janssen's, but he's been there for a long time. And so much of, he starts the majority of the game, so much of our attacks involve him raiding up that right wing. Learn how to cross the, but we've got a 6'4" beanpole in Cara in there now, and when we're just not utilizing, we're not utilizing it. So most surprising thing for me this season, the fact Huan's not been able to put some form together yet. I was so glad for him when he had that game. I can't remember now, honestly, like the game.
It was the Charlotte match.
The Charlotte match. I was so pleased for him in that game because the fans were starting to get on his back and, you know, quite rightly, you know, we want the players to perform, to give their best. And that was a good moment for him. But he's been better for us in the past. And I expect better of him.
Yeah, I love that answer. That's a great answer. For me, I find myself going between a few players, but I think I am going to land on Pato. Yes. I think he could be better for us. And I think it's even after those first few performances where it's like, oh, we have something here. And we haven't seen that continue at all. And now he's making spot minutes off the bench and he hasn't, like you said, he hasn't found a role. So for me, it's been surprising that Pato hasn't been involved more, but I can see why he hasn't.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we were all gutted when he missed pretty much all of last season. And he has been like a new signing, started the season very well. We were all kind of feeling very smug. I think his standout game, wasn't it, at Portland Timbers away, he was fantastic in that game. And we thought, man, maybe we should raise the expectations because we've got a fully fit Pato now. And the fact we're now 14 games deep and he's just getting a bit part off the bench now and again, that speaks volumes for me that he's not figured it out yet. So I like that answer as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are coming up on time. Taylor, I would say, where can our listeners find you at? I'm sure they know, but if you just want to shout it out real quick.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at Orlando_CityUK. And just want to shout out, we'll be over. I've been waiting to say this for a long, long time. The next home game in Major League Soccer, we will be there, Houston Dyno on June 18. If you're in town, come say hi. And I can't wait.
Where are you sitting? Are you in the wall or?
We're going to be in the West Club for that, which I've never
seen. Oh, it's nice. Taylor, it's nice.
It's super nice.
Get there an hour early. There's no lines. Get there early. No lines. Beer is endless. Definitely. great seat. That's
where I'll be, folks. So the West Club, Houston Dynamo.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I know you have to run. Taylor, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. This was a great review, and have a great rest of your weekend. And again, congrats on the upcoming wedding.
Thanks very much, Gavin. Yeah, pleasure. And vamos, Orlando.
Vamos, Orlando.